Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 3:08 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is November 23rd, and I thought I would kick off with this relative comparison of the Fangman plus Tech Tesla stocks market cap versus the market cap of the NYSE. So it got all the way up to test the peaks from back in September, and we've had a little pause in here right now. Now, I don't think there's anything on the chart to suggest that this is anything other than a pause. And when we look at this on a weekly chart, well, then we can see that on a weekly basis it had already broken out last Friday. And there is obviously the potential here that the very large cap companies are capable of continuing to advance. But one of the defining characteristics of the very large cap companies is that they have profits. This is quite different from the kind of environment that we had in the 1990s. There were companies where they were extremely profitable and they'd been doing very well, and then their businesses evaporated. So, for example, Cisco Systems had been a phenomenally successful company, and they built the infrastructure for the internet, and then once it was built, there was nothing for them to do, so the price collapsed. So then we can think about the kind of infrastructure that companies like Amazon or Facebook or Microsoft have completed, and what is it that could potentially impact their businesses? Well, on the one hand, we have the cloud computing sector, which has become integral to how we live our lives. So that's important because it's not about to evaporate, and the adoption of the subscription business model means that there will be ongoing revenues coming from those types of businesses. So it's not like the kind of environment that Cisco had, because they don't have ongoing revenues once they've built the network. So then it's all about growth, and because it's about growth, that's why they've been afforded the luxury of having these outsized valuations. But one thing that we are certainly seeing is that some of those cloud computing stocks are beginning to pull back. So the cloud computing sector has pulled back in a violent manner for 5 consecutive days, and it was off its lows in here today. So we're starting to see a little bit of an potential, at least, that the now short-term oversold condition could be unwound, and we're also back in the region of the succession of higher reaction lows. So this may have been a very short-term wobble. But then we can think about some of the companies within this sector that relies on connectivity and cloud, and those that just don't have a future in a post-pandemic world. And Zoom Video Communications is one of those. It provides a substandard service in an environment where competition is increasing and where people hate the experience of having to sit through these meetings online. So the share was down in a dramatic fashion in here today. Then you have Peloton, where everyone went out and bought what is often effectively a clothes horse by the time people get sick of these online classes. And then, of course, Peloton's machines are killing people, and particularly small children. So obviously that's not particularly good news either, and the share is down significantly, and it may not survive. So we have these types of companies where they just don't have a runway for growth any longer, and they're being punished as a result. Then we also have the kind of environment where there are plenty of other companies. They are all competing in the same field, and the market simply isn't big enough to sustain all of them. So they can't all capture all market share. Now, when we think about the NASDAQ, well, it's been dragged lower by some of these unprofitable companies over the last 2 days. But it's being supported today by some of the companies that do have profits. And it's companies that were looking pretty ropey last week were the leading advancers in here today. So Ross Stores is looking like it will be able to raise prices, and it was off its lows in here today. And Dollar Tree Stores said that they are going to now become a $1.25 store. So they're also raising prices. Of course, one thing that that's also going to do is increase pressure on the people who actually shop in these stores. Because generally, the people who shop in Dollar Tree or Ross, they don't tend to be the wealthiest portion of society. And it's in for those people, they're the ones that are going to experience inflation in the most severe fashion. Well, then we can also think about what's going on in terms of government bonds. Because one of the primary reasons why the unprofitable companies are doing worse today is because of 10-year Treasury yields continuing to march higher. They were up another nearly 6 basis points in here today, and closing out in the region of the peak from last month, but it's still finding support in the region of the trend mean. It still looks like an uptrend overall. And this is going to put an increasing amount of pressure on unprofitable companies. So we can break down the technology sector into two very distinct halves, because there are plenty of profitable companies which still have a reasonably convincing runway for growth, and then we have those that don't have revenue, not a mind profits, and where the outlook for profitability is very, very far off in the future. And then, of course, we have Tesla, which exists in its own ecosystem, and its valuation is multiples of the rest of the automotive sector. And the share was down $50 almost in here today, and then well off the lows. And it's still a bastion for speculation. The number of options that trade on Tesla dwarfs every other share, and in fact, most of the market combined. So, what happens in terms of Tesla and the appetite for risk? It does have a knock-on effect for the wider market. Well, I've put in the money stop on my NASDAQ short from yesterday. I opened it as a hedge short because of my long exposure to the precious metals. We had a very odd day yesterday where everything pulled back together, and we've had a very exaggerated decline in the precious metals, where gold has come back from over $1,800 back down, or excuse me, over 1850 down below $1,800, and now beginning to steady in that area. But we're going to need a clear upward dynamic in order to confirm a return to demand dominance here. Silver has come back to test its sequence of higher reaction lows as well. Platinum came back in a very abrupt manner, and it's now back trading below the $1,000 level. And I have to say, if I'm honest, I really didn't think there was going to be an opportunity to buy platinum below $1,000 again, but here we are. And if I wasn't so deep in positions in precious metals, I think I'd be a buyer in here today. Well, then when we think about palladium, it's much more of an industrial metal than the other precious metals. And it's pulling back in a really quite abrupt fashion. And I think this is particularly important. It's because every automotive company is talking about electric vehicles, and you even have Ford talking about becoming the largest EV producer in the world within the next few years. Well, EVs don't have catalytic converters. So then if we look at the performance of platinum versus palladium, well, then it in many respects, is a ratio that looks at the outlook for electric vehicles and hydrogen fuel cells versus internal combustion engines. Now, it has not broken out yet, but we definitely have evidence of a base formation, and the ratio is firming from the region of the peaks from earlier in the year. So there is the significant potential that this extraordinary advance that we've seen in palladium over the course of the last few years is about to be unwound. And prices really are at nosebleed levels compared to where they prevailed ahead of the big breakout in 2019. Well, then the important point is that if there's less demand for palladium, then that might inhibit additional investments in nickel. So there's the potential here that what happens in palladium might have the opposite effect on nickel, because palladium is a much more valuable byproduct of nickel mining. And if there's less demand for it, well, then it's going to impact the profitability of nickel mining. And that should help to support the price. And nickel has been the clear laggard in the industrial metals complex. So the London Metals Index was in positive territory today, and it's continuing to firm in the region of the peak from back in 2011. And despite the uptick in volatility that we saw yesterday, well, copper prices continue to firm from the region of the trend mean. So I said that we had an odd day yesterday because everything went down together. We had stock markets, bonds, and precious metals all falling, and the yen went down. And the yen is still weak against the dollar. So this is also at least what's going on right now. It's less about inflation and more about interest rate policy, because with Jay Powell at a position where, or at least back, and the uncertainty about whether he would be removed has been dispelled. So that brings the original timetable for tapering and the potential for interest rate hikes in the second half of next year back into the fore. And Japan has no intention of raising interest rates. And Europe, despite the fact that inflation is ramping higher in places like Germany, well, and the euro is very oversold, but they don't want to raise interest rates either. So this is helping to support the dollar overall. And China has been particularly quiet about the outlook for the renminbi. That was a tad weaker in here today, and China doesn't want to have the strongest currency in the world either. Their growth is moderating, and ultimately they're going to have to devalue the currency. But they're not quite willing to do it yet. One thing that is also beginning to brew here, one thing that we were, at least I think the vast majority of people were hoping, that the nationalization of the tutoring sector was going to be the end of, or at least would represent a significant lull in the willingness of the Chinese administration to target the corporate sector. And then we had a significant rebound in shares like Alibaba and JD.com and Meituan. And then Alibaba pulled back very sharply last week, but that was on earnings rather than politics. And what we're now starting to see with Lenovo is politics starting to come back to the fore, because there was an article in the Global Times today, and the Global Times is basically the English language mouthpiece of the Communist Party, talking about the failures at Lenovo, that it was a state-sponsored vehicle and it was originally the largest producer of the computers in the world, because, and they, of course, they don't like to mention that they bought IBM's business in order to take over that mantle, and that the company isn't providing dividends to the government in terms of development along the themes that have been outlined. And on top of that, the senior executives are being paid too much money. Well, that's the kind of shot across the bow for a corporate in China that generally acts as a warning to investors that further, deeper, more strict regulation is coming. So the share was down, but more importantly than that, it has been ranging below the trend mean for the last 6 months, and there's the potential here that it is going to break lower. Not because there's anything special about the business, but rather it's all about politics. And Alibaba is back in the region of its lows, and it was in negative territory in here again today. So it's extending the move below $140, and it needs now a clear upward dynamic in order to confirm a return to demand dominance. The Nifty index in India has also been a little weaker, but it is beginning to steady. And so far, this consolidation isn't all that much larger than the one that we had between February and April. So it has unwound about half of the overextension relative to the trend mean. Narendra Modi has had to walk back the pressure that they've been putting on the farming sector. India still has too many farmers, and they represent a large enough voting bloc that it will be a factor for every administration. But the reality is that reforms are getting passed, and that the walking back of the liberalization of the farming sector is a headwind for governance, but it's certainly not, and I think it's not something that's going to bring down the government. And the reality is that the Nifty is overbought, and this is a reasonably similar sized reaction, but a sustained move below the trend mean would really be required to question the bull market overall. I remain very much of the view that the dollar is the linchpin to significant additional new interest in emerging markets. When we think about the potential, at least for Brazil, for example, or Mexico or South Africa to do well, generally investors want to have the currency on their side. So in US dollar terms, the MSCI Brazil ETF is still in its base formation, and it's at a fraction of where it was trading at the peak back in 2008. But when we look at the nominal price appreciation of the Brazilian market, it's also been pulling back, but we're at a multiple of where the price was back in 2008. So what this helps to highlight is that the devaluation of the currency has been one of the most significant factors in the nominal appreciation of the stock market over the course of the last 12 years. And we're going to have to see these currencies turn around in order to really encourage foreign investors to become much more active in the market. It's not beyond the bounds of possibility that these currencies will begin to firm, but they're going to require global growth to pick up. And a lot of the worries about interest rates and the outlook for growth and the trajectory of the virus, they're weighing on emerging markets. And of course, then you have the uncertainty about China. So the MSCI Emerging Markets had bounced last week, and then it has pulled back over the last couple of days. I don't think that there's a convincing argument to support any view that it's going to break lower. But in order to really renew its position of outperformance, then it's likely that we're going to have the currency in its favor. I'm very much of the view that if we see unprofitable companies starting to run into trouble, and that translates into high yield spreads starting to march higher, I think that is the kind of action that would deter the Federal Reserve and other central banks from being overly eager in raising rates. And high yield spreads are right in the region of the trend mean, but are still close to historic lows. We're still in an environment, and in an environment where there is extraordinarily loose financial conditions. That's helping to support bull markets overall. It's certainly helping to favor profitable companies, and particularly companies like the corporate autonomies and the dividend aristocrats. They remain really very firm in this environment because of the strength of their balance sheets and their ability to continue to support higher dividends overall. And in this kind of environment where we have interest rate uncertainty and inflationary uncertainty, then that's a powerfully attractive quality against a background where unprofitable companies are beginning to underperform. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.